talking, but come and chat to me. Obviously, we don't plan things the way they sometimes fan out, but I believe that is also church. Next time it looks a bit different. I know God is not one that would ever just shock or use shock tactics just to shock, but sometimes he just says, step out of your boat. Just step out of your formula so that I can meet with you for real. And on mornings like this, he does that. And I really have a passion for the freedom of people. And I trust he will take us to the fullness of that freedom. He's a good God. Anyway, I knew this morning something was going to be raw. I didn't know it was me. But it's a good thing. This is the moment you think you've got all figured out and you've kind of got this Christian groove, or you've got this church groove, or you've got a pastoral groove. God just comes and he just shakes that. And guys, it's not comfortable. It's really not all that comfortable, but really that's the place we grow. And that's, it just dawned on me, Letitia brought that word last week of God just cutting out the dead branches. And on moments like this where it just feels like things are not fitting in, God just comes through with his authentic hand and he just comes and prunes in love the dead branches, even in church life. So please let him just come and cut off and cut out the dead branches in our lives. We're not going to be weird for weird's sake. That's not Christianity. That's not true gospel either. But sometimes we're going to trust God just to step out of the boat, step out of our comfortable things we do, so that we can actually hear him. Cool. Thank you very much for worship that time. And thank you very much for responding. I just really sense that scripture is so paramount in the season. I know it's for me, but it seemed like obviously for 90% of you guys that you get to a place where you feel a bit swamped and then Christ just comes as a redeemer. We're going to look at the scripture just now, but it's so beautiful. Peter walks on the water. He's a man of power for the hour. And when he starts to sink, he shouts out, "Save me, Lord." Jesus doesn't correct him. He doesn't give him a teaching first. He doesn't condemn him whatsoever. Immediately, the scripture says, he reached out and he grabbed him. But it's for us to come to that place of brokenness and humility many a times, just to say, "Lord, save me again. Just save me in where I'm at." Now, we're currently busy with the sermon series of faith. 2 weeks back, I started off with this particular scripture around Matthew 14. And the title of the scripture is Step Out, or Step Up, or Splash Out. And it's not one that will hopefully bring anybody into striving, but it would be one just to empower us again to live a life by faith and to trust God. We're currently looking at the golden oldies, I said, of the word concerning faith. And last week, Johan also shared on faith, of our faith needed to be fruitful. And we can only have a fruitful faith if it's based in love and kindness, and if it flows from that place. I look at my sister, it's the first time she's visiting us. God and by welcome. And usually when you invite somebody to church or you invite a friend, he's like, "Lord, may this just be a normal service, please." But luckily she knows me by now, so I don't have that problem. But sorry guys, now and again, if you bring a visitor, thank God for the visitor. But I do apologize if it goes like this. But it tends to happen. It even happens with me and family. But yeah, God has got an awesome sense of humor and he is quite out of our boxes. Long story short, when you hand then shared around faith again and fruitful faith and the Good Samaritan. And this week we're going to continue unpacking Matthew 14 and Peter walking on the water. Who's had a look at that scripture recently? Anybody? I really want to encourage you, just go and make it your own. I said it's like an amazing rich dish. It's like this perfect cuisine. It's got just so much in it and so much richness in it, but it's difficult to explain it. So you can go make it your own and unpack it with God. There's so much concerning faith in our lives Christian lives that we can just unpack from that one piece of scripture of this one weird guy getting out of a boat. So please go and unpack it yourself. We've been saying this. This is today the 13th time we're chatting about faith. But you can go to the next slide. We just said to one another, if you're visiting, we're going to recap, but hopefully we know this by heart now. We said faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust in someone or something. And in this case, in our case, it's God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, His Word and His ways. Complete trust and confidence in someone or something. Reliance, dependence, hope, trust, belief. And then Hebrews 11, the scripture says faith is the following. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Who's ever had a hope for things unseen? Anybody here? Who currently carries a hope for something that you do not see? I have a lot of them. I really have a lot. In fact, I live from one to the other. And it's just the way in which I've gotten to know my God. And when I'm lucky, when I'm in a good space, that the things that I don't see is even more real than the things that I do see. And that's grace. But that's the place that we can live, and I believe that's kingdom living. In context of getting out of the boat, the following says, or C.S. Lewis says the following. You can go to the next slide, thank you. He says, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. That might relate to that vision I just saw for you. If you want to hear that. But there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. Who's ever had to leave something behind for the sake of the gospel or following Christ? Huh? What's the question? Thank you for asking so politely. I said, who's ever had to leave something behind for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of following Christ? Who's actually had to leave something? Leave something. Something had to kind of die, or you had to lay it down. All of us. If not, we need to chat, because it's part and parcel of the gospel. There's a place where we leave something behind, but we're going to, and we're heading to something better. Let's go back to scripture and trust that God will really unpack this even more for us today. I'm going to run through the whole scripture, but please focus and see what Rhema's for you. What is God saying to you this morning? Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Now I'm quickly going to also disconnect the dots of the things I shared the previous time. What happens there is, Jesus, in context, has just fed the 5,000 men, women, and children. Massive miracles. Imagine disciples freaking out. Wow, what a man. Now what does Jesus do? He doesn't go into a place where he shares signatures and takes selfies with the crowd. Oh, look at the 12 baskets. How awesome is that? Does a little Instagram thingy on it and just paste it on Facebook. No, he doesn't do that. He, in fact, he sends his disciples away, and then he goes into a place of intimacy with God. He comes out of this amazing mountaintop experience. He comes out of this miracle, and he goes back into intimacy. That, for me, is beautiful. Remember that. Second to that, what else did we learn last time? My heading was, he did what? He does this amazing miracle and then he sends the disciples away. He sends them where? Where does Jesus send the disciples? To a boat? Yes. Onto a lake? Yes. But where does he send them? He sends them into a storm. So here, the disciple maker, the Messiah, sends his own disciples into a storm. Does that offend you? Hopefully not. Because sometimes God lovingly sends us into a storm. What good parent does not give their children a test? To discipline, to love, to teach them. So sometimes God will send you into a test. Is all storms of the Lord? We need to make this very clear distinction. Just stop there. Just remember, we need to discern. Chat to somebody. If you're going through something and he said, Retief, I'm really going through a storm. Is this a God storm or not? Or is this the devil trying to steal from me? We need to discern that and be very clear. Let's move on. After dismissing the crowds, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Remember that. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already over a mile from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. So he was there in the evening, far from his disciples. They were on the boat in the storm, and the wind and the waves were battering them already. Around 3 in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the sea. What did we say about that? What do we learn? What is the nugget we take from the scripture there? We see something that might be offensive to the flesh again. What is it? In the evening, we're still there on the shore, but they were already in their storm. He didn't immediately pitch up. Only in the fourth watch, which is 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, only at 3 o'clock the next morning, Jesus pitches on the water. Sometimes you and me might be facing a storm, and we've been praying. We say, Lord, come, where are you? I don't see you on the waves. I don't see you in the storm. And he doesn't pitch immediately. Have anybody experienced that? God's timing is not our time. But we need to humble our hearts and realize that he's a good God. He will come through, but he's busy maybe teaching you something. And there's a place of patience and perseverance that he teaches us in the waiting. Who finds waiting a bit hard? I find waiting a bit hard. What is the one of the things that God has done the most in my life is waiting. We moved to Malmesbury. God said to me, pit stop. I said this to you. I thought, pit stop 6 months. God said, no, pit stop 5 years. It's a bit of a difference between 6 months and 5 years. But I had to wait. I had to constantly bring my heart before the Lord because I wanted to get offended. So Jesus goes, he knows they're in a storm, but he takes a bit of a time to pitch up. Same with Lazarus. Same with a couple of other stories in the Bible. We don't have time to stop at everything. We're just recapping. We're taking a couple of nuggets, faith nuggets from Matthew 14. Around 3 in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost! Or it's a spirit, some other translation says. They said and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, and that's what we prayed for this morning, and I believe that's where many of us are at, or were. God has just saved us and plucked us from that. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. That place of humility, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out. Immediately. I love that. What good father amongst us. If his child is near danger, if his child cries out, Papa, help! Well, not immediately bow down. But it's beautiful. You first need to come to that place of humility. So I'm walking on water. Just check this. Whoa, whoa. And then you come to a place where you say, I need help. And guys, there's nothing wrong with that. I loved what Ralph shared this morning. He was at a place that he needed help. And alongside him came other believers and said, well, we can help you with this practical thing. Is the car working now again? Praise God. Are you going to get another one? Amen. I agree with that. But anyway, God is good. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Man, this is a guy that's just walked on the water, and Jesus said, little faith. I don't know what he will call us, but he loves us. Praise God, there's grace. Imagine that. Then again, who's got a swimming pool? We can go for a couple of tests this afternoon. I think we're due for something like that. Let's go on. Verse 32, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. We said last week, just quickly, but it's important for us. What is the biggest, in context, what is the biggest message? What is the most important thing I believe in this whole part of Scripture? It's not a guy walking on the water. It's not Jesus standing and people thinking he's a ghost. It's not all of the things. It is that previous slide, please, that last bit that says, truly, you are the Son of God. Everybody on earth that ever was, that ever will all face this one faith fight in their existence. Everybody. Is Jesus the Son of God? And am I willing to accept that with faith? It was very important for the disciples also to realize that he is actually the Son of God, because they were waiting. They were in context. They were in a season or seasons of their lives. The Israel people were waiting for the Messiah eagerly to come. Please, the Son of God, please come and save us. They were just constantly looking, being on the lookout for him to come. And it is important to note that they said, yes, this is the Son of God. Likewise, we've had that moment. But is it important for us still, to, for people out there, to have this moment? And we need to remember that. We're going to move on. We said, with regards to intimacy, thank you, you can go to 2 slides ahead. Thank you so much. Perfect. We said around intimacy, Jesus had this amazing moment where he fed 5,000, went into a place of intimacy. Where else do we find intimacy? We find it in a place of absolute destruction and storm. The disciples in the boat thinking, I am going to die. And yet the turn of the story comes when Jesus returns. He speaks to them. He comes close. He comes again into a place of intimacy and closeness. And there the story turns. There's two parts here. What am I saying? I'm just saying, guys, if we are on the mountaintop and if you experience affluence and favor, an amazing time in your life, and even if God uses you mightily, go into a place of intimacy. If you're going through a storm, if you're struggling and it looks as if God is not close to you or in your life and things are just not working out the way you had it planned, you think you're going to die, go into a place of intimacy. Let's stick to a place of intimacy with the Lord. Let's stick to a place of intimacy with the Scriptures, with the Holy Spirit, and then with God-fearing, fruit-bearing Christians as well. God's timing we shared, and then lastly, last week we shared, there's many storms in our lives and we're not going to get into it. But the bottom line is your storm can have the better of you, or you can, in Christ, have the better of your storm. Storms are going to be in this world. We are going to have storms. But there's a decision, there's a faith decision that we can make daily. Is my storm going to have the better of me, or am I going to, in Christ, have the better of my storm? And then there, what was Jesus' position? He had the fatherly position. When Jesus takes us through a test, he doesn't sit in the boat. He's not behind the steering wheel. He's not in a cabin reading a book, sipping on a nice flat white. He's actually on the waves. He's actually in the wind. What is the thing that you fear the most now? Just in your heart. Just take a moment. What is the biggest thing that you fear? What is the biggest thing that you fear? What is the stuff even in your life that is pressuring? What is the winds and the waves in your life now? Where do you think Christ can be in that? And once you position him right, what's going to happen to that winds and waves? That thing that you fear, that major thing you fear, if you place Christ there, if you trust him just to manifest himself, his truth in that thing, what's going to happen to that situation and what's going to happen to that fear? Which brings us to the next point, and this is the one that we're going to hammer today. Hopefully not too long. I see it's quite late. Don't be afraid. Fear versus faith. Or faith versus fear. Now, who's heard it said that it says fear not 365 times in the Bible? Anybody heard that said? Fear not. One for every day. Key thing. Anybody? Funny enough, this is just an add-on. This has got nothing to do with the message, really. But funny enough, I went to go research that because I wanted to use it in my sermon. But apparently it does not say that. Fear not is not 365 times in the Bible, apparently, because some people have gone and checked it and counted it. Does that mean we need to start fearing now because it's not one day for every day? No, not at all. Take heart, there's still 103 times, apparently, in the King James Version where it says, either fear not or don't be afraid. But even if my God had said that once, it would have been enough. Even once. We don't need it. You can use it 365 times or days of the year, but you need not have it so much. That's just by the by. So please don't quote it if you get it in an Olicky ear post. Have you ever struggled with fear? Anybody? Have you guys, anybody, ever struggled with fear? Sucks. It's really not nice. It's a battle that I would choose not to want But it's one that all of us have faced and might face in the future, but praise God, we're going to get stronger, we're going to get fitter when it comes to fear fights. Now, what is the opposite of fear? It's probably there. Love is accounted for faith. Yes, yeah. That's the one that we're going to focus on. But love, we're going to get to that scripture as well that Demi just referred to. But today we're just going to focus that the opposite of fear is faith. Who's had a situation in their life where there were both fear and faith coexisting? It might have been they will not 100% walk together. It's impossible for them to coexist. You cannot trust the evidence of the devil and the evidence of God simultaneously. But there is a place where I believe if there was fear, God's faith can come in and take that place. But we're going to get to that just now. Let's go to the scriptures just to see how we can take faith nuggets, faith revelation out of the scripture. Matthew 14, verse 25. Thank you. Around 3 in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. So they were just not... They were probably losing their minds in fear, because firstly it was these waves that were pounding them. It was this horrible wind, thinking that they're going to die. And then here comes a ghost walking on the water. It is kind of a bit of a horror movie type scenario. And they had a lot of fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them. Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Who's had a place in their lives where you feared so much about something and then you have this moment where Jesus comes and just speaks the truth about the situation? Have anybody experienced... Sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions, but I want this thing to be practical. It doesn't help if we come here, we want to drill mekaar se ore and we go out here and it doesn't change our lives. That's why I'm asking questions. But have you had the moment where, or situation where you feared, but then Christ comes with his truth and he just speaks to you and it's as if the peace returns? Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter answered, command me to come to you and on the water. Come, he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, you have little faith. Lot of fear, little faith. Sometimes we find ourselves in these situations, but God will help us with that if we open up our hearts to him. I said there at the bottom, faith in truth, faith in Christ. Faith, who's Christ? Christ is the truth. Any given situation, if I ask Christ's opinion, it is the truth of the matter. If I don't have shoes to wear, and I say, Christ, what are you saying about this? And he comes and rhema's truth. It brings true perspective. God's perspective. Who agrees that God's perspective is always the correct perspective? If that is not the case for you, there's no condemnation, but I would really suggest that in your Christian walk, trust God to get to that place where you make up your mind about his goodness, where you make up his mind about his perspective and his word. Because otherwise, it's going to be a tug of war that's really just going to worn you out. There comes a place where you say, Lord, help me to have this revelation to know that you're good, that your perspective and that your opinion about a situation, a person, a thing is the correct one. Jesus is the truth. So faith in truth expels fear. Faith in truth expels fear. I said, yeah, what evidence are you going to believe? Now, who's heard the beautiful acronym for fear? What is it? False evidence appearing real. I'm now really tempted to say, let's repeat it after me, but let's not do that. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Remember that thing that we were thinking about just now, that you said that is maybe the thing that I fear the most in my life? Just imagine that the evidence that you have about that specific thing that you fear is false. Just imagine that. But the game of faith is, where am I going to base? What am I going to trust? Am I going to trust false evidence? Or, if we go back to Scripture, see how beautiful this is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So am I going to take God's evidence about a matter, or am I going to listen to the devil's evidence? So it's very easy, guys. We can grin about it now, but it's very effective and it's very practical in our lives, and unfortunately we don't get it right always. So fear is false evidence appearing real, the devil saying something, you're going to die, you're going to die in the storm, just look at that wave, just look at how crazy the storm is. False evidence, they believing that they are actually going to die. And then Jesus comes, speaks a word. He comes and he brings restoration. Faith returns to their hearts because the evidence they now have is one based on the truth and one based upon Christ. You need to decide. Who of you is not easily offended? Awesome. Great. Because I want to quickly make things very practical. Don't worry, nobody's going to dance. I'm not going to take out Ralph. Don't relax. Ek het juist nie. Ek het hom so mooi lyk vandag. Jealous of his beard, that's unnecessary. No, it's not about him. I'm going to be the one in the not so cool seat, but I want to share this very practical thing. This is what we see in Scripture, just at the hand of a personal experience. But I'm going to use a couple of disclaimers beforehand. Sien Ralph, ek kan myself ook spot. Jy gaan nou sien. Now, these are a pair of New Balance. What is techies in English? Runners? I know they say in trainers. Cool, trainers. Okay, so this is a pair of New Balance trainers. This is Bianca, and I'm going to tell a quick testimony surrounding these trainers. You might think, well, where is this guy heading now? But I just want to show you how practically these things work in our life and how you can practically decide which evidence are you going to allow into your life. Now, why am I showing you this? You can go to the next slide. Thank you so much. No, the next one. Apologies. A couple of weeks back, I got a new pair of tackies. But it wasn't these ones. It was ones that was meant for trail running, and they were hard. And I realized that, oops, I actually made a bit of a mistake a couple of months back when I got it for a bargain. And this might not be the ideal ones to run with on the road. And as you can see, I'm not a comrades athlete, but I do like running 3 times a week. And I do take out myself as well. I do like go running with God and just spend some time out. Be that as it may, This testimony is firstly not about money. It's not about material things either. Hear my heart. I believe it's about a principle. Matthew 6 says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear, for so the Gentiles worry about those things. So please, I just make it very clear that my theology need to be straight here. It's not about getting techies. It's not about money. It's not about having money or not having money. It's just about the way in which God works our hearts in faith. Getting back to the story. Now, I needed another pair, not really needed another pair because I had a pair, but it wasn't perfect. So I just said, Lord, firstly, I don't have the money for a new pair of techies, but I'm still going to pray about it. Lord, can I actually just buy another pair of running techies? I can see just Mr. Voges' eyes are just going bonkers now. But you're going to like the story, Pietri. And I prayed about it, not making a massive deal, and God said to me at the beginning of last week, He said to me, yes, clearly. Clearly, he said to me, yes, you can buy another pair. Now, I know my budget, and I know there's not money for techies. Now, what does a pair of trainers cost these days? Anything between 1,000 and 3,000 rand if you buy proper ones. These are not the grandest. But it is quite expensive, and I just knew I didn't have the money, but God said yes. I had my come moment. I asked him, I said, Lord, can I? And he said, come. And I'm like, okay, cool. Now the process starts. And here's the... So now I venture out in the water. I'm like, okay, cool. Don't have the money for this now. But I'm venturing out in the water. I'm trusting God. So I step out of the boat. And now I start looking for my new pair of trainers. Huh? Trainers. This says a lack of trainers. They just look different if they're trainers, not techies. So now I start looking, and I go to one or two shops, don't get right, but I'm looking for a bargain because God said yes, so it needs to be a bargain. That's just the way I know how He works. But He corrected me on that. But anyway, so now I've been to two or three shops. It was last Saturday, and then the Sunday, it didn't come right. Edna had to get a pair, got that all sorted, and I've been running around on Sunday again. I think I need to speak under correction. Go to another couple of places, get nothing. And I'm like, okay, Lord. Monday, I come back from a meeting, and I stop at Bayside, go to another two or three shops, nothing cheap. And I've just kind of lost hope, and I'm just thinking, what am I doing? I'm wasting time. I don't want to waste time running after trainers. I've never done that. It just feels so fleshly, and it just feels wrong. And I'm just like, Lord, am I deceived? Did you actually speak to me? And so I went to Edgar's. There was this pair marked down, but it was without a box for 800 Rand. I'm like, that's not a bargain. I can't do that. I don't have peace with that. And I walk out. Anyway, go home. And now I get home, and I'm just like, I drive home, and I'm like, Lord, you clearly spoke to me and said, yes, I know that. I know your voice. But what has happened in between in the last couple 4 days is just ridiculous. I don't want to run around after these things that I'm not getting right. What do I need to learn? I know when I go through something like that, I need to learn something. I just say, Lord, what do I need to learn about this Malachiach after Tekis an? What do I need to learn? And immediately I was driving, and I know exactly there near Elkanah, exactly where God just spoke to me. He said, you turned your eyes to the waves and the wind. I'm like, what? And he said, you turned your eyes to the waves and the wind. And immediately it just dawned on me. God said to me, come. But I took my eyes off Christ, and I started looking price. I started looking this and looking budget and looking to the future. And I'm not going to have a pension because I'm going to buy this techies type of nonsense. And so this battle started, and that's the very practical thing that can happen in all of our lives if you let God. God gave me a word. He said yes. But now the devil comes in. Culture comes in. I respect budget, but submitted to Christ's spirit and His word comes in, and experience and fear. False evidence appearing real, saying, well, you don't have the money and you don't get a bargain. Nobody wants to give you a bargain either. And you're probably just totally deceived. So this is false evidence versus God has given me the yes. So I get home, and like Edna says, hi, come here. I'm like, I need to go pray. So I go to my room. Yeah, this is all about techies, huh? I told you I'm going to tag out myself a bit, but I knew there was something I had to learn. Go to my room and I repent. I say, Lord, I understand. I was looking at the price. I was looking at budget. I was looking at a lot of stuff. You just said yes. I should have just gone to the first shop, just buy myself one and go for a run. I repent. I've wasted a couple of days and going here and there trying to figure this thing out. And you just said yes. I've started to sink. I apologize. I repent. I'm just going to go to the next store and just buy a pair, and you've got the rest covered. So I go to the store. It was about 5:30 on Monday. I go there, they don't have it, I order it, I go home. I'm like, I'm just going to do it in faith and not worry about the... Guess what happened? At 5:45, I think, on Monday, Edgar's. Now, firstly, major breakthrough. Edgar's phoned me. Huh? Who's ever had that? Bless Edgar's, but these big corporations, they really phone you back. So, there was a massive breakthrough. They phoned me. Long story short. Guy phones me back, and it's just God's sense of humor for me sometimes. He phones me back and says, oh yeah, that code he didn't want to get in the first place. He actually decided to phone around. He got a code, and it was actually marked down again, and he just spoke to his manager, I can get it for 200 Rand. And so yes, was gaan hierdie kamerads hardloop nie. Again, it's not about money. It's not about material things. It's a thing of doing life with God. Now, who's ever bought a pair of trainers for 200 Rand. And so I was just laughing, although I just laughed at Ed and I laughed at God. And most of all, I just laughed at myself. Because God was just, and that's the thing of practice what you preach. I think if ever I've had a moment of practice what you preach, it was this one. God said to me, yes, crave yourself, it takes, never mind, but crave it, excess. And then I went and I looked at the winds and the waves. I listened to the false evidence. But once I came to a place of brokenness, saying, Lord, save me. I've just wasted a lot of time. I probably missed you, but what do I have to learn? He came and he just taught me something, and then, in fact, blessed me. So I just want to say that is the practical way in which you can do it. Now, please, This is not compared to going into full-time ministry or starting this business or getting married or the big faith steps that you need to take. But hey, why not just start by practicing with the small things? Why not just trust God in the small things and to walk in faith with Him, to get to know Him, that when the big things come around, it's quite easy. False evidence appearing real versus Hebrews 11, verse 1. Quickly moving on, fear versus faith. We've got a couple of minutes left. Second thing about fear versus faith. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love, as Demi said, casts out all fear. Fear took hold of my heart. You've missed it. You're being all fleshly now. You've just totally had it opgeskroef. But then love just comes in the moment where I say, Lord, what can I learn? He speaks to me. I go to my inner room. He speaks to me. I repent where I've missed it. And love comes and just washes fear out of the door. Therefore, there's no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. God, take us to a place of perfection of love. Sometimes I think I get it, and the next day I realize, man, I don't have it at all. God, may you take us to that place of perfection of love. What happened? They just saw this massive miracle, feeding 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. They get into a boat, they get into a storm, they're going to die. That's what we do. Unfortunately, we do that. But in that moment, realize the love in my heart, the love that I believe, that I know that God is for me, has not been perfected. Lord, help me just to figure this out. Come and flood my heart with your love again, so that it can drown out the voices of fear. I hope this speaks to somebody's heart. There's 2 last nuggets that I want to leave with you, and I'm not going to be long on them. Don't worry. Matthew 14, rich piece of scripture, and I'm thankful for it. But the next one, the next point for today, and I think it's about the 7th one that we've dealt with, is start and sustain. Now, what do I mean with start and sustain? What do I mean with start and sustain? Guys, we're calling each other and we're trusting that God will move us in faith. But the bottom line is this: you need to remember. And this I've learned the hard way sometimes, and other people, unfortunately, as well. But what you start in faith needs to be sustained in faith. If your business, if your marriage, if your relationship is God-breathed and start, if the original seed was a faith seed of God, a rhema word of the Lord, a verse out of the Bible, you're not going to start it in the spirit and sustain it with the flesh. You can't start something by faith and keep it afloat by fear. We need to be careful about that. That's exactly what I did, so I can share this with you. Born in faith, tried to sustain and figure and bring it to fruition in fear. It doesn't coexist. It's tough, because once you're on the water, you're on the water. It's not on the water, in the boat. On the water, in the boat. On the water. No, it's one or the other. Peter George, a CEO of a gold mine that I once worked for, and I loved the guy. I prayed a lot with him. He's an on fire believer in the mining industry. He said to me that once you start flapping your wings and getting into the air, moving in faith, you need to keep on flapping your wings. Or you need to soar in the spirit, obviously. But it's not a thing fun. 6 days of the week, or even 3 days of the week, I love to just be in the spirit. I'll keep in faith. And on Saturdays, I'm just going to rest my wings. The two can't really coexist. So where it starts, and from where it starts, it needs to be sustained. If something was born out of manipulation and the flesh and fear, don't later on then try to substitute it with faith either. God can redeem. 2 people can be unbelievers, get married. It might have happened in weird and wonderful or not so wonderful ways, but God can redeem that. Hear my heart. But if you've contrived and you've did a bit of a scheme and manipulated, and something was born out of the flesh, it will probably need to be sustained by the flesh and manipulation. It's not going to all of a sudden start feeding on the good word of God and faith. You get what I'm saying? Same happened to Peter. What started in faith needed to be kept in faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Not when we feel like it, not when it's only our choice, or mornings like this morning. It was tough in the spirit. Some of you have been going through a tough time. But it's a nice place to be honest and say, no, we're not going to stop. We're not going to sit down. We're going to stand up and say, by God's grace, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Even though the winds and the waves have come, we're just going to come around each other. We're just going to pray for one another and say, thank you for your anointing, because we're going to be a people that's going to walk by faith and not by sight. And then the last point, and this I want to leave with you concerning Matthew 14. I want to say, make it your own. Guys, make it your own. I can tell you, Olukus knocks a grappies, and we can tongue-in-cheek have nice jitters about the fact that I got trainers for $200. But the bottom line is, I want to hear your story. Make it your own. Yes, there's a place for testimony. I need to hear Stephen's testimonies. I need to hear this couple's testimonies, because it's going to feed my faith. It's going to grow. But if I only live off their testimonies, if I only, and it's very powerful, I will always suggest it, only stay in the Word, it's a good chance. But chances are well that if I only stick to the testimonies and not ever get out of a boat on my own, I'm not going to grow. Guys, I can preach, I can probably preach for 13 years on faith. I will really enjoy it. I don't know about you, but I will enjoy it. But there's a slim chance that that might not change your life at all. And I'm being honest. The kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. There needs to be a place where the power of faith is evident in your life, because you choose to decide to take Him on His word, to take Him on His rhema voice, and you decide to also step out of the boat. It can be small. It can be techies. It can be Antarctica, by all means. Just make sure it's God and that you've chatted to me first. No, I'm just joking, but yeah, please do chat to me first. James 2 verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. I want to encourage you, not give you homework, not make it life even more difficult, but I want to encourage you that most of your faith growing will be happening in your own life. There's a difference in being touched and being moved. A message that I bring you, a testimony that I share, might just touch Pietri's heart. But Pietri needs to be moved. Yes, his testimony can move me, but we need not be a people that only get touched. Ah, wow. Ah, Oh, yeah. 200 rand. Yeah, yok. It doesn't help if we only get touched. I want you next week to come and tell me about your techies, trainers. I want to hear your story. God wants to give you, more than I, God wants to give you your story. Peter was the one that said, if it's you, please tell me to come. What did the other disciples do? Probably thought, you're stupid, and then thought, oh man, I should have actually gone with. Guys, faith can be fun as well. God has actually have a major fun side. He created fun. He created joy. It wasn't the devil's idea. Not at all. He might try to copy it. But Peter stepped out. And the disciples stayed back. Who learned the most? Who will cherish it the most? Who will take it home the most? Dinata, yeah. Well said. And lastly, I said, I believe the sermon you live is many times more powerful than the sermon you hear. I love preaching. I really like sharing the gospel. I like sharing stories. I like making lame jokes. I really like doing it. I don't know if it's good or if it's not. But you know what? My biggest stories was not necessarily the ones that somebody preached at me. And yes, there's some sermons that I still remember 13, 14 years later. I remember it. God obviously did something. But the biggest sermons of my life is my life. The biggest sermon in your life will be your life if you let Him. I want to challenge you in love that with God, say to Him, Jesus, if this is you, tell me to come. Jesus, if you want me to buy another pair, say yes. And again, it's not about having stuff. It's not about money, but it's walking and growing in faith. Amen. Can you guys stand with me and let us pray? There's three things that I had in my heart beforehand, and firstly is what we've dealt with, fear versus faith. And just with all eyes closed, and if there's an element of false evidence appearing real in your life that you want the Lord just to expose the truth about, I just want you to raise your hand. You can tell him in secret in your heart as well, but sometimes it's just good to make a commitment in the spirit. Just say, Lord, yes, it's a part of humility that we do. It's not for a pastor or preacher to feel good. It's for you to say, I'm in business. I actually want this. God's moved by faith. Now, you just say by faith, Lord, there's this area of fear, false evidence appearing real, that I want you to expose the truth about. Please, Lord. Now, we're going to be here afterwards, and you can come and pray and share that and bring it into the light, which is powerful. You don't have to do now. All I want, and there's a lot of hands, thank you. This is saying, God, there's areas of darkness and areas of storms that we now see in our brothers and sisters' lives. Please come, Jesus. Please come, Jesus. Jesus, come. Light be over these situations. What is false, come and expose it with the truth. What is fear, come and expose it and bring forth faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And go as the Lord leads you around that. He might take you to the Word. Somebody might just say something over a cappuccino. But be open to Him to speak into this situation. And if it's so fearful, if it really takes hold of your life to such a degree that you cannot move, that you cannot breathe, speak to somebody. Bring it into the light with a fellow believer that you trust. And let us pray through it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your perfect love that will cast out the fear. Then I believe there's maybe many of us, but some of us that have started something in faith, but are struggling to sustain it in faith. You've started off on the water, but you feel like you're sinking. It might be a specific thing, but just with all eyes closed, if that is you, you've started something in faith, but it feels like you cannot sustain it. Your faith is feeling weary. I just want to pray for a strengthening of your faith. Just raise your hand if that's you. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just realized the Lord loves you. He loves us. Lord, I just pray for these situations where our brothers and sisters have started off in fear, that I've started off in faith and started off on the water, but somehow I've just gotten a bit of a wobble, but I just ask for an impartation of fresh faith. Holy Spirit, just fresh faith. Love, come and just be poured out. Love, just come and be poured out in their heart. Strengthen them again to stand upon the water, to walk upon the water, to finish the race that you've set out for them. If they're in the air, please, Holy Spirit, come and lift them higher and keep them afloat. I put up my own hand in this area and I ask, Lord, you know what you've given me. Help me, Lord, to stay in the air, Lord. And then just lastly and plainly, if you want more of your own faith stories, if you just want more of your own faith stories, to say, Lord, if this is you, tell me to come. If you want to say to Jesus, say to me, come. Maybe just raise your hand or whatever you want to do. Just make it clear to Him that this is burning on your heart. I want to walk more in faith, walk more in the Spirit. I want to walk in faith and not in fear. I want more of your faith stories in my life. Just raise your hand and just make it known unto Him. And then lastly, God, we come as a church. We come as a community and say, Lord, this is us. We want more of your faith stories, Lord. God, for us as a community together, we want more of your faith stories. yes, it's amazing, and I honor you. I don't talk down about the amazing testimony about a pair of trainers or techies, Lord. I thank you for that. But God, we pray for the nations. We pray for lost souls that might be heading to hell, Lord. We ask for that. We ask for those faith testimonies, stepping out of the water to love what seemingly be the unlovable. Lord, we want to see your faith made manifest in miracles, signs, and wonders, Lord, because you promised it in your word. We want to do the things that Christ did, and even greater so. God, have your way, Lord. We can't. We can just say we're available. We can just, like Peter, say, come. And as a church, we say, Jesus, come. Have your way. We honor you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we plead your blood of Christ over us and our church family and all of our loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there something else? Holy Spirit, is there something else? Apparently there is.
I just saw this vision of God's throne room, and it was filled with all these gifts with different names on them, big ones, small ones, and some of the gifts had the same name on, quite a few of them. And then I saw these gifts being moved out of God's throne room, and it was just hovering in heaven. And I believe these gifts are prayers that are unanswered, that started out in faith, but we gave up too soon. And God is challenging us to just start trusting Him, just asking again.
I agree with that. Thank you, Father. We come and give those things, those gifts to you, Lord, those promises. We ask, Lord, for fruitfulness over us as a people. Thank you, Lord, that none of your gifts, none of your promises will be aborted, Lord. There will be no stillbirths of the promises of God amongst us by your grace. Geen aborties nie, geen stilgeboortes nie. We thank you for the fruition of the promises of God amongst us by His grace, not by our own liking, but by His grace. And thank you, Lord, that the enemy will not steal what you gave us. And if this word is for individuals, we ask that you'll just grant them the grace for people to come around them, for the word of truth to just saturate their souls afresh, Lord, for the gifts, for the promises of God to come in, for the births that Christ had planned for us to come to birth, in Jesus' name. Have your way, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Francisco. I appreciate that. Cool. Now we can have coffee and cake and go make some testimonies and sermons out there. Have a good week, guys.